I made a commitment to myself that on a regular basis, on a daily basis, I would practice centering prayer. Without going into too much detail about it, it's basically sitting in silence for 20 minutes of listening prayer. To help me do that, I have an app on my phone. It's called Insight Timer. Isn't that a great name? And I set the timer, and at the beginning, it has three nice, gentle chimes. And then when the 20 minutes are up, one chime to send me out. As with any app on our phones, they're constantly doing upgrades. Don't you love it when your app gets upgraded and suddenly you don't know how to use it anymore? This one I can still use. It's basically the same. But one of the new features is that when your time of prayer is finished and the little chime goes off, a calendar pops up for the week. And it shows you how many days of that week you have used the app. In other words, how many days of the week you have lived up to your commitment to do centering prayer. So I've decided I don't like the upgrade on this app. So I convinced myself that I was doing centering prayer on a nearly daily basis, but here lately it's been more like 3 days a week. So I look at that and I feel guilty, and then I start making excuses. I have been busy. I have meetings in the mornings, Bible studies. It's hard to sit down and do centering prayer until the kids are off to school. And some days, you know, I've got places to be. And I've just been really busy. Have you ever made that excuse to yourself about your prayer life? I'm just too busy to pray. Well, when we find Jesus in this first chapter of Mark's gospel, he is having a really busy day. If you were here last week, you heard that the day began. It was the Sabbath day, and it began in the synagogue. But it was not a day of rest for Jesus, because he was in the synagogue teaching and preaching. And no sooner had he and Simon and Andrew and James and John left the synagogue than they went to Simon and Andrew's house and found Simon's mother-in-law sick in bed. Now, let me just make an aside here. One of the reasons I love reading scripture is there are often these little treasures hidden away. Simon Peter had a mother-in-law, which means he was married, but that's for another day. Anyway, I digress. Back to the day that Jesus was having. Comes out of the synagogue, and he heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law of her fever. Still, the Sabbath day. After the sun went down and the Sabbath was over, then everyone else in the village was free to go about their normal business because the Sabbath was over. And so it was then that they flooded to Simon Peter's house with all of the sick and all of the demon-possessed so that Jesus could heal them. And it seems, the way Mark tells the story, that Jesus is up basically all night healing people and casting out demons one after the other. At some point, most of the folks must have gone on to bed, but not Jesus. In the wee hours of the morning, no doubt exhausted and spent, he got up and went to a deserted place to pray. As busy as Jesus was, he was drawn to this time of prayer. In fact, that's his pattern of life. That's the rhythm of life that we see in Jesus throughout the Gospels. He is pouring out himself in ministry, and he is withdrawing to pray. He is out doing and acting, and he is away from everyone, resting and praying. A rhythm of the outward and the inward, the output and the input. And this is the rhythm of life he models for us and calls us into. And disciples across the centuries have known this to be true. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, is known to have said, "I have so much to do today that I need to spend 3 hours in prayer before the day begins." The founder of our Methodist movement, John Wesley, knew the importance of the outward and the inward rhythm of life. He called it works of piety and works of mercy. And when those early bands of Methodists got together in their small groups to hold one another accountable and to love one another through the journey of discipleship, they would make sure they were practicing those acts of mercy and acts of piety, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick and imprisoned, and spending time in prayer and fasting and studying the scriptures and worship. The truth is, we need that rhythm in our own lives to sustain our life with God and our faith and discipleship. I don't know about you, but I get out of whack pretty easily. And for me, at least, I tend to err much more on the side of the doing, the outward, that I'm supposed to be doing and acting and pouring out all the time. In fact, we can be guilty in the church sometimes of gathering together and us preachers telling you, you ought to do more, you ought to love more, you need to go out and do more, without reminding you again and again that you're called to receive as well. That we need that input so we can do the output. This is one reason why I think I might get rid of this app. Because when I see it, you know, I haven't prayed enough. I haven't done enough. And then my prayer life becomes another thing I'm supposed to do. I buy into this whole achievement culture that we live in, that we are what we do. We're only as good as what we do. And you know what's underneath that, don't you? This belief that somehow I've got to do this better, or I'm not going to be acceptable to God. God is not going to love me. If I'm not out working all the time for social justice, God's not going to love me. If I'm not praying every morning for 20 minutes, God's not going to accept me. God's going to be disappointed in me. If I'm not doing all the things I'm supposed to do, I'm not worthy. I wonder what Jesus did when he went away by himself to pray. I wonder what his prayers were like. We get glimpses here and there in the Gospels, but usually it just says he went away by himself to pray. I think what happened to Jesus in those times of prayer was he communed with the Trinity. He rested and rejoiced in the love of God that was already his. He quieted himself enough. He withdrew from the noise of the world and the needs of the world long enough to hear the voice. That same voice that spoke at his baptism, saying to him, "You are my beloved child, and I am so pleased with you." And perhaps he remembered that voice spoke to him before he even did one act of ministry in the world. That's what prayer is meant to do for us, my friends, to help us place ourselves at the fountain, to receive from the source that great love that is for us, has always been for us, and always will be for us. There is nothing we have to do to earn that love, and nothing we can do to lose that love. And so we're called to the rhythm of receiving it, of drinking it in, of resting in that love, and then allowing it to flow through us out into the world to do the work we're called to do. Did you notice what happened to Jesus? After he came out of that time of prayer, the disciples came and said, "Everybody's looking for you. There's still people in Capernaum who need to be healed and demons that need to be cast out." And Jesus said, "No, it's time for me to move on. I'm called to go to the other towns and villages and proclaim the good news. That is my mission." It would have been so tempting for him to stay right there and try to pour himself out and meet every single need and fix everything, but that wasn't his to do. And he got that clarity in prayer. And the same gift is there for you and me. As we practice this rhythm of life, we can get clearer on who we are called to be and what is ours to do. And we can be filled again to go and do it. We have the privilege this morning of gathering once again at this table. And one of the things I love to say every Communion Sunday is that this table is open to everybody. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you haven't done or how many times you've prayed this week or how many people you've invited to church or what acts of service you've done this week or haven't done. You are God's beloved and you are welcome at this table. May this table today be a place where you are reminded and filled again with God's unconditional love for you.